Zaktum Sil Sisharam. Last thing we discussed was that the antithesis of Zahiris, of being careful and mindful of what a person chooses to do, is the Yetzirah's push to encourage an individual, without them even knowing, to keep moving in life, without taking out any time to contemplate. Am I on the right path? Am I going in the wrong direction? And he compares it to someone who's blind walking by the side of a river. And it's almost inevitable that at some point, the person's going to fall in, because you're standing in a makom sakana, a makom which is, he calls it, sakanoso vadayatsuma, raso krovim atzalaso, and the odds of danger are so much greater than being saved and not actually doing anything to prevent it. And he says, no different than the way an animal functions. An animal functions, you give the horse a kick, and it runs. Does it know where it's going or what it's about to encounter? It has no idea, because it's just instinctually moving in the direction that it was moving before, without paying attention to what may lie in its path. And he says it's like a sus shotu b'mochama, where there's a charge, there's a bugle blowing, and all the animal knows is to run as fast as it can. Little does it know that it's running right into the mouth of the danger. This is one of the most powerful methods the Yetzer Hara has to trick us, to mislead us, to take away our power of choice and our koach of bechira to make the right decisions. To make sure that we're carrying around a burden of avoda so heavy, that we're so preoccupied, our minds are so busy, and we're physically always encumbered that we don't have a chance to stop and think. And nowadays, none of us have a chance to stop and think. And it used to be because we were so busy with responsibilities. Now, besides responsibilities, which can definitely be a weight to carry on our shoulders, now we're preoccupied with the entertainment or with the messages, with the communications. But it's just a different form. It may not seem as burdensome from a physical, intellectual, emotional standpoint, but it's just as much filling up our brain space and our capacity to devote attention to anything. So memela, our attention is diverted away from paying attention to the way that we're going, the direction we're moving in. Yitzhar knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows that at the moment that he would try to release us from a little bit of that preoccupation, immediately we'd have some self-reflection, some introspection, and have a moment to consider what we're doing, what we're not doing. And with that little ounce of thoughtfulness, immediately charata, regret, would overcome us. It would become, he says, it would kick in, but it would be holechos miskaberes. Over time, it would increase. Until it would reach a point where we just couldn't maintain, we couldn't hold to the same pattern of behavior and averos whatsoever. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron initially come, the end of Parsha Shmos, in Parakeh, to Paro to complain and say, you know, it's time for them to go, time for them to leave Mitzrayim, even just for a few days to serve our God and bring some karbonos in the Midbar, as the Pesukim describe. So Paro hears that, and he said, you guys are clearly bored. You clearly don't have enough keeping you busy. Now you're going to have to make your own materials, and you're going to have to get your collect your own straw to make bricks. And tichbar avod al nashim, make the work harder. If you're able to even be here talking to me right now, you clearly don't have enough to do. Now, it's not simply that he felt that they, you know, he wasn't getting his money's worth for the slave labor. Rather, Paro had one intention: to make sure that the Jews did not have revach klal, no space, no wiggle room, no flexibility whatsoever. Levilti yitnu levo yasimun etzen egdo, because he was afraid that when they had that chance to breathe, then they could start planning, then they could start revolting, then they could create a revolution, because it would be the first opportunity to dawn on them that maybe their current situation wasn't right. It's interesting. It's a fascinating nitziv. Nitziv says in these parshios, you find a pasuk that says that Vayomas Melch Mitzrayim, there was a point that whoever the Paro was at this time died, And the Jewish people sighed from the work that they were doing. And, oh, Noach, beautiful. And they sighed and they cried out to Hashem. The question is, you've been working for hundreds of years, right? The slavery in Mitzrayim was a total of 210 years, depending on when exactly you start counting from, when they came to Mitzrayim. But Lemaisa, it was a very long time, decades and decades of generations. And now, suddenly, it took until the Paro passed away, by Anchum and Avoda, this is the first time that Torah records that they let out this sigh and this grief, and then finally called out to Hashem. Where were they? What were they thinking? What was holding them back all this time? Explains the Netziv that up until this point, their work in the fields, in the pyramids, whatever they were doing, whatever they were building, was so nonstop that there was no break. There was no vacation whatsoever. It was only when the Paro died. So when a Paro dies, so it's a day of national mourning. When the dignitary, when the monarch. It's his funeral, so everybody, the flags are at half mast or whatever, and all the businesses are closed. All the taskmasters went home and they attended the Levaya. And they called a day of national mourning in Egypt. This was the first time in all these years, in all these generations, that the Jews had a day off. And finally, when they had this day off, they said to themselves, wait a minute, maybe this is not the way our lives are supposed to continue. Maybe this is not what history has in mind for us. Maybe that's not what God has in mind for us. And it was the first time they let out that sigh of, oh, I can't believe we're living through this. I can't believe we're suffering like this. Let's cry out to Hashem and ask for something different. But it wasn't until they had a day off that they could fully appreciate it, because they had no time to think. Because that was Paro's M.O., to make sure that they could not have a chance to even be misboning. Continues the Misil Sisharim, Elohim Mishtad Alafriya Libam Mikolas Bonus. Beautiful, there's a hint here. This is unbelievable, Rabosai. Elohim Mishtad Alafriya Libam Mikolas Bonus. When the second to last paragraph of Perek Beis, his goal was to try so hard, Lafriya Libam, to, how would you define Lafriya? Someone give me a good word to define Lafriya. To bother, okay? So when someone bothers you, it's because you want to give your attention to one thing and they're annoying you, they're distracting, they're getting in the way. That's what it means. Lahafriya means to present an obstacle, to interrupt, to disrupt. He's mishradel lahafriya libam kol zbonos. He wanted to divert the attention of their hearts, their minds, from any hisbonos, because hasmonos avoda abilti mafsekes, by creating such a powerful nonstop force of labor that they were forced to be a part of, to participate in. They didn't have a chance to think. Notice that the letters of the word lahafriya, the shoresh, it's the same shoresh as the word paro. Paro's goal was lahafriya. Paro's goal was to distract them. It wasn't just to work them so hard by avodas paro so they had no strength. It was to distract them from anything else that they should be thinking about. Zogt Misil Sisharim, that's the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara is Paro incarnate. Or maybe Paro is the Yetzer Hara incarnate. He is the ultimate mafriya, the ultimate distraction. Your phone, your social media, is the mafriya. It's the Paro. It's the Yetzer Hara. It's just trying. Now, it doesn't even have to be anything bad. It isn't even about things that a person is not allowed to look at. It's just a distraction. When you're not thinking, when you're not able to consider the reality that you're living through, that's your environment, you're finished. And the Yetzer Hara says, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Paro osios mafriya. If he's not thinking, if he's distracted, 1 point for the Yetzer Hara, 0 points for us. Keni atas Yetzer Hara ram amesh al bnei adam, ki ish mocham hu umelu bin mar bimas. The Yetzer Hara, that's how he works. He's very experienced. He's very conniving. His strategy is top rate. It takes someone with tremendous chachma, great wisdom, and hashkafa gedola, and a broad perspective on things. Interesting term, hashkafa gedola, right? If I use the word hashkafa, and I told you hashkafa gedola, a big hashkafa. So it could mean it's an important hashkafa, but that's not what it means. Hashkifa mimon kachacha. Hashkafa means a cook. As we say in Yiddish, an outlook, a perspective. Hashkafa Gedola means a broad, very expansive perspective to see all the different points on the battlefield, right? We're using the mashal. He's an Ish Mochama. The Yitzhar is an Ish Mochama, and he's a Malumud Bar Mimas. He knows how to trick you, and he knows how to fight. How do you win a battle? If you're only looking at the front lines, only what's coming at you, you're missing all the strategy of the other team, of the other side, of the enemy. You need to be able to rise up and see their camp, see their how they're lining up, see how they're situating themselves, where they're snipers, right? If I have satellite photos of the enemy, so then I'm in a much better position than if I'm just looking at them head on, right? So you need to be able to take a step back. Just to give the example of the phone again, because it's so easy to do so, right? If I only look at me and my phone, so then maybe I don't see the casualties and the risk is great. If I'm able to step back and see life without a phone, see the difference between two people, one who is hooked on his phone, one who has self-control, one who leaves his phone in his dorm room when it comes to shir, right? So then when I can appreciate how different that guy is when he walks into the room and over the next several hours of shir and the base medrash, when I had that perspective, I say like it's push it. It's so easy, right? Josh, why would I bring my phone to shir if I see how much more someone who left his phone at home is able to accomplish, is how much more he's in the game, how much more he's focusing, right? But that's because I'm only looking at myself, you know, and my phone. I need to take a step back. I need to ask God for Gedolah. I need to see the whole battlefield. Zok the Navi Chagai, simu levavchem, pay attention, al darchechem, on your path, the path that you're traveling on. Shlomo Rama Mechach Masal Titein Shein Alei Necha, Sinu Malach Apecha, He Natzok Kitzvi Miyad Chetzi Bar Miyad Yakush. Zok Shlomo Melech, don't sleep, don't even rest, don't even doze off, don't even put your head down for a base nap. You need to be active, you need to have your mind alert, your antennas out, to be safe. To escape the trap. Person who is Sham or Chosav, who is constantly evaluating, testing, and ensuring that his pathways are the ones that will save him and the ones that will protect him and keep him going in the right direction. That's a person who's going to be Zoch of Rabbi Shuaso. And all you need to know in the Bir of the Midas HaHiras is everything the Yitzhar is trying to do to you. And the most powerful weapon he has against you is this simple nekuda, preventing you from thinking. So all you need to do, Rabbi said, this is why it's fascinating. You know, a Musr Seder in yeshiva, traditionally, half an hour, you know, maybe it's better if we split it up 15, 20 minutes, two times in the day. But think about how much time we spend learning Gemara, hours and hours a day. In an average yeshiva, you learn for a few minutes a day, Musr, right? So obviously, the more the merrier, the better you can do. The more you'll accomplish, but how could it be that we even think that we can get away with so little? So the answer is because that is so transformative, that small time when you stop and you're thinking. Point of Musar is partially the content, the Divrei Chachamim, the Eitzes, the attitudes, the perspectives I should have, but it's also simply the opportunity of Cheshbon HaNefesh that it affords, that I can clear my mind from everything else that's going on during my day, and say, wait a minute, is this what I'm supposed to be doing right now? As soon as you get your foot in the door, the Yetzer Hara is already deflated. It's interesting, in Parashas Bereishis, when the Torah talks about the Yetzer Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we have different imageries of the Yetzer Hara. We have the Nachash, right? The Nachash is also the first appearance of the Yetzer Hara on the scene. But there's also a reference to the Yetzer Hara when Hashem is talking to Cain. After Cain brings his carbon that's not accepted, it says Lafesa Chatas Rovitz. The Yetzer Hara is like a beast that's crouching by the door. Why is he described as someone who's just by the door? Right? There's so many other ways you could have described the Yetzer Hara. So maybe based on what we're saying, because all the Yetzer Hara is trying to do is block the door, right? He's not planting a landmine, he's not trying to destroy, he's just trying to block the door. Because as soon as you get your foot in the door, you open yourself up to a whole world of thoughtfulness and mindfulness that the Mida of Zahiris is trying to, that gives you the success through the Mida of Zahiris. And the Fezachat is always just keep him away from the door so you can get in, and you're automatically opening yourself up to tremendous Hatzlach and Avodas Hashem.